What an exciting week, all those snow days. What is more enjoyable than shoveling snow? It's using a snow blower. Now, Sam asked me to make this announcement. It's not in the bulletin. It's a last minute thing. I hope it won't snow anymore this winter, but we do have a snow blower for the church use, and Sam is going to give a demonstration on how to use it during coffee hour. And it's in Vernon Hall here. So ladies, gather around, and next time it snows, you can come here and just have great fun using that machine. And some of you guys, you can probably join in too and learn how to use it. So that'll be during coffee time. If you did not read this insert last week, please read it today, and you'll see some of the exciting things that we as a church family are able to support in terms of ministry. And the other announcement, which I will just remind you of, is that Missions Fest is coming up very quickly here, and that announcement is on the back page, and it's running Friday and Saturday, and you may want to participate in that. I'm going to pray for our Sunday school ministry and for us, and then we will look into God's Word. Let's pray. Father God, what a privilege it is to be here, remembering your great love for us as expressed through the giving of Jesus. And we thank you for the privilege of being in relationship with you. And I ask that as the Sunday school program is underway, that the children participating will begin to understand even more deeply your love for them, and that you will draw them to yourself. I pray that we here would also understand your great love for us, and that we would be continually drawn closer to you. I ask now that you would encourage and challenge us through the sharing of your word, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this is the second last message that I will have the privilege of giving to you, my church family. And I want to take this opportunity to say very simply, choose to live for Jesus. Now, I can't force you to live for Jesus. Your parents can't force you to live for Jesus. Your spouse can't force you to live for Jesus. And even God won't force you to live for Jesus. But please, will you please freely make the choice to live for Jesus? If you freely choose to live for Jesus, I can guarantee that you will not regret your decision. You will not be disappointed. There's a story told about a young man who was hitchhiking through the deep south, and a farmer driving an old pickup truck stopped to give him a lift as they rode along. They got to talking about the local moonshine whiskey. Now, the young man said that he didn't drink very much, and moonshine was probably a little too strong for his taste. "Nonsense," said the farmer. "You got to try some." He fished around behind him, and he finally produced a small jug, and he said, "Here." He handed the jug to the lad, and he said, "Take a drink." "Oh, no thanks," said the young man. I really don't think I care for any." "No, I insist," pressed the farmer. "Have some." "No thanks, really, said the young man. I don't think I will." Well, this farmer was not going to take no for an answer, and so he stopped the truck, and he grabbed his shotgun from the rack in back, and he pointed the gun at the lad, and he roared, "I said, take a drink." Okay, said the young man. I've changed my mind. I guess I will have some after all." And so the young man swallowed a few gulps and did so before he realized how powerful the stuff was. And his throat muscles constricted and his eyes began to water and he made choking sounds. And the farmer asked, "Well, what did you think? Good, ain't it?" I guess so, gasped the lad. Then the farmer handed the shotgun to the young man, and he grinned, and he said, "Here, now you hold the gun on me and make me take a drink." Now, if you have been forced, if you have been feeling pressured to live for Jesus, you will probably be disappointed. The experience will be bitter. If you are freely choosing not to live for Jesus, you are surely experiencing disappointment after disappointment, and life is full of bitterness. But if you choose freely to live for Jesus, well, let's consider what the Bible has to say about that. Turn first of all to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. For the Lord, you fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Now, Satan, the evil one, the enemy of our lives, doesn't want us to taste and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't want us to make the choice to live for Jesus. And so he will do everything that he can to force us into ignoring or giving up on Jesus. He will tempt us. He will distract us. He will discourage us. He will provoke us. He will put trouble at our feet and try to cause us to stumble. He will bless us with material things. And he'll tell us that we really don't need Jesus just now. Wait a little while. Instead, why not simply enjoy life by trying to satisfy the pleasures of sin and the flesh and only think about living for Jesus sometime later in life? But over all of these disturbances and these distractions, Jesus quietly and he continually says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that I am good. Live for me, and you will not regret your decision. My way is the way of truth. My way is the way of peace. My way is the way of joy. My way is the true way of blessing. My way is the beneficial way. Now consider John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. One of the benefits of living for Jesus is peace. Here's what the verses say. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. One of the benefits of living for Jesus is peace, a peace that the world does not give, but peace from Jesus, His peace. Turn to Matthew chapter 5, a fairly well-known selection of scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, here we discover that one of the benefits of living for Jesus is blessing, no matter what the circumstances of life. So Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessedness, or deep happiness. This is a sense of well-being. Now, it's not always the absence of pain or disappointment or sorrow, but it is a sense of still being well, of being whole, of being loved in the middle of these difficult times, being loved by a friend who is sovereignly, who is powerfully in control, and who continually cares for His children. One of the blessings of living for Jesus is that no matter what circumstances in life we face, there is this sense of being well. Consider John 15, some of the verses that we already read this morning. One of the benefits of living for Jesus is joy. John 15, verses 10 and 11. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Joy. That's one of the benefits of living for Jesus. Joy in life is a delight. It's a delight that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. And like peace, it's not tied to external circumstances. Joy springs up from deep within through this sense of God's presence in your life. I mean, think of Jesus in the most excruciating moment of his life, when he faced the prospect of being crucified on the cross, the most excruciating death one might ever imagine, we read that he still experienced joy. Why? Because he chose to live for his Father. He chose to obey his Father. He chose to accept and experience the love of his Father. Joy springs up from a relationship with the Father. That experience which Jesus had is the same experience which we are invited to have. As we choose freely to obey Jesus, as we choose freely to love Him and choose to live for Him, then our joy springs up abundantly. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, if you know anything about him, you know that he suffered very much in his life. And here are some words that he wrote after his imprisonment in the Russian Gulag. He said, "It was granted me to carry away from my prison years on my bent back, which nearly broke beneath its load, this essential experience, how a human being becomes evil and how good. In the intoxication of youthful successes, I had felt myself to be infallible, and I was therefore cruel. In the surfeit of power, I was a murderer and an oppressor. In my most evil moments, I was convinced that I was doing good, and I was well supplied with systematic arguments. It was only when I lay there on rotting prison straw that I sensed within myself the first stirrings of good. Gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes through not states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts. That is why I turn back to the years of my imprisonment and say, sometimes to the astonishment of those about me, bless you, prison. I have served enough time there. I nourished my soul there. And I say without hesitation, bless you, prison, for having been in my life. Bless you, prison." Now, I have heard a number of times, as I think many of you have heard, the wonderful testimony of Horst, of how as a POW in a Russian camp, he experienced God. Horst, you would say again that you were blessed through that experience in that prison camp because Jesus came and met you and impacted your life. When you choose to live for Jesus, you will find the ability to bless your prison. When you choose to live for Jesus, you will find the ability to bless your heartache, to bless your trial, to bless your disappointment. Why? Because you will be receiving from Jesus His joy and His peace and His love, His blessing, His help, His protection, His encouragement. You can bless your prison when you are living for Jesus. Now, one of the other benefits of living for Jesus is hope. And I'd like you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I would suggest that even if Alexander or Horst had never survived prison, they would have died filled with hope. Even if you or I face death today, as people who have freely chosen to follow Jesus, we are full of hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. One of the benefits of living for Jesus is hope, a hope that transcends the experience of death. One final passage to look at. Please find Romans chapter 8. One of the benefits of living for Jesus is God's helping presence. Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start reading at verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, so that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Drop down to verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Many years ago, and you'll recognize this as I get a little bit further through on this illustration, but many, many years ago, Red Auerbach is his name. He was coaching the Boston Celtics, the basketball team. And he carefully outlined each of his pre-game talks, and Auerbach took a lot of pride in making each motivational talk an original. However, during the NBA championships one year, he found himself at a bit of a loss for words, and so he turned to his star player and asked Frank Ramsey if he had any words of wisdom for the team. Ramsey thought for a moment, and then he approached the blackboard and he wrote, "You win $10,000. Now you realize this is going back a long way, since it's now a multi-billion dollar business and these players are making, you know, multi-millions. But back in those days, $10,000 was like $1 million. So he writes on the blackboard, "You win $10,000. You lose $5,000. And that was all the pregame talk that was needed, that the Celtics went out and they won. Now, the motivational analogy almost works for us this morning. Almost. When you choose to follow Jesus, you win $10,000. When you choose not to follow Jesus, you lose. And it's $0, not $5,000. You see, you lose everything and you get nothing. If you choose not to follow Jesus, you lose. Now, God will never point a gun at you like the farmer. He will never demand that you take a drink. He will never demand that you live for Jesus. The truth, or the choice, is up to you. That's the truth of the matter. It's up to you. And while you're contemplating this, Satan is going to say to you otherwise. He's going to say to you, put it off. He's going to say, living for Jesus is bitter. It will be a disappointment. But it is not. If you choose freely to live for Him, if you choose to center your life around Him, if you choose to make Him an integral and daily participant in your life, you will never be disappointed. You will always be on the winning side. Now, I have in my wallet far too many cards, and I have on my computer far too many links, and I have on my cell phone far too many apps. I belong, and this is just a sampling, to Aeroplan, Air Miles, Asia Miles, Costco Executive, Save On Foods, Petra Points, Wyndham Rewards, American Express Front of the Line, Best Western Rewards, Choice Privileges, Kia Awards, Stash Rewards, BCAA, Starbucks, and I'm afraid many, many more. Why? Because membership has its privileges. And I can receive benefits depending upon my choices. I'm here to say that when I choose to live for Jesus, I receive many benefits. I receive peace and blessing and joy and hope and God's helping presence, and so much more. What choice are you making? If you have never freely chosen to live for Jesus, I encourage you to do that. If you will choose to live for Jesus, you will not be disappointed. If you've not made that choice, but you're thinking about it, I'd encourage you to speak to another Christian. Allow that Christian to give you the help and the guidance so that you can make the choice to live for Jesus. Maybe you made that choice once upon a time. You are a Christian. But maybe today you are wavering, or you are only half-hearted in your desire to live for Jesus. And I would encourage you to confess that, to confess your weakness and to recommit yourself to making Jesus the center of your life. You can invite the Holy Spirit to renew within you a right spirit, to change your attitude, to give you the right attitude and the right priority. If you will choose Jesus, if you will taste, then you will see that the Lord is truly good. I encourage you to do that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Live for Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, take these words of Scripture that we have looked over this morning, and bring them often to our mind. Remind us again and again that we are invited to taste and see how good you are. I pray that you would help each one of us not to fall to the lies, to the deception of the evil one, but to choose to live for you and for you alone. This I pray in your wonderful and holy name. Amen. Let's stand now and sing the doxology.